This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Many of us tell ourselves stories about our abilities that just aren't true. This negative self-talk can sabotage your job search and your career. Our guest today says it takes a strategy and patience to overcome these doubts. Dr. Tega Edwin is here to talk about why limiting career beliefs matter and how to beat them. She's a career counselor and coach, and Tega helps women who are unhappy at work get clarity so they can find a fulfilling career. She joins us from St. Louis, Missouri. Well, Tega, here's where I want to start. Let's start with the basics. What exactly are career-limiting beliefs?
Yeah, Mac. So limiting career beliefs are thoughts, stories that we have about ourselves that can increase the negative emotions that we feel when it's time to make career decisions. So emotions like guilt, shame, fear, anxiety can all be exacerbated based on our career beliefs.
Why is it important to pay attention to these beliefs, especially during a job search, Tega?
So, well, our beliefs determine how we approach creating and setting our goals for ourselves. Our beliefs determine how we make decisions about our career, how we approach learning new skills, exploring new interests. And so if you're someone who's going into the job search and you believe that you will not find a job that maybe pays you a goal salary that you have for yourself, or that you will not find a job that you genuinely will enjoy and thrive in, then you are less likely to be open to those opportunities and more likely to engage and behaviors that might actually sabotage your own job search because you don't believe in the outcome that you wanted to have in any way.
How do these career limiting beliefs happen, Tega?
Oh man, they just occur over time and with stories that we hear from the world. Sometimes it's from our own experiences. So if we've had a negative experience, we start to think and believe that that's the way the world works and we internalize that. Sometimes it's from things we've been told, whether it's from childhood, whether it's in other jobs where maybe we've been told that we didn't have the skills, we weren't smart enough, we weren't worthy, whatever it may be, usually they come from external messages and personal experiences that then cause us to adopt those beliefs as how we see the world.
You work with so many job seekers in your practice. Do you see a common career-limiting belief come up again and again?
Yeah, I think the main one that I see in the work that I do is the lack of belief that they have the ability to actually find work that they love. So a lot of times I'll hear the women I work with say things like, you know, can I really find a job that I will enjoy? I feel like work is just miserable for everybody. Do I really have the ability to find something that is fulfilling and still get paid? So believing that they're mutually exclusive, like I can't find work I love and get paid what I call a value-aligned salary. That's a common one that I often see that we have to sort of tackle and work on when I'm working with my clients.
When you work with your clients, Tega, do they recognize that, say, the example you just shared is a career-limiting belief, or do they think that that's just a fact of life?
I would say the latter. They sometimes think it's a fact, but that's why I start with conversations about mindset and beliefs. So my goal before we even start work is to bring those beliefs to the forefront so that we can identify what they are. Because a lot of times, you know, especially as we think of the job search, we just like take these actions, we're searching, we're interviewing, we're applying without actually stopping to think about what we believe about this process we're engaging in. And what we don't realize is that our beliefs are driving what we're doing in the process. So I like us to stop and really get clear about the beliefs. What do you believe about this process? What do you believe about yourself before we even go in? So that as we start the real work or the deeper work, we can identify when that belief is showing up. We can pause and say, okay, that thought that you had earlier about not being worthy of a fulfilling career, I can see that playing out. Let's address what's happening in this moment.
I want to talk about that work, but let's step back just for a moment and talk more, Tega, about how those career-limiting beliefs affect the clients you work with in a job search. What practically do you see happen if people don't address them?
So some things that I've seen when people don't address their belief is, one, not going up for opportunities at work. So if you don't believe that you will get an opportunity anyway, you're more likely to not put your name forward, more likely to not apply for it. When we think of money, if you don't believe you will get the raise, if you already doubt that they will take you seriously, you're less likely to ask for the raise or more likely to take no for an answer when you hear it the first time and totally back off. I've seen the limiting beliefs keep some people stuck in unfulfilling careers. So when they don't believe that they can find work that they can thrive in, when you don't believe that you can actually enjoy the work that you're doing, then you're more likely to just stay in a role that is pretty much sucking the life out of you because you don't think anything else better is out there. So you're in your head, you're like, well, I might as well just stay where I am. So those are three, I would say, three of the most common concrete ways I see it impacting people in their work.
Are there people who manage to avoid career limiting beliefs altogether? Are there some fortunate people out there?
I doubt it. I don't think that we avoid them altogether. More so, they're people who are quick at catching them and addressing them.
And what do they do differently? How do they recognize what's happening and what actions do they take?
So those people tend to be more self-aware. So they are able to, in the moment, stop and ask themselves, what do I believe about this situation? So whether if they find themselves maybe procrastinating on an action or shying away from a task or avoiding a project or avoiding offering themselves up to lead a project, they have the ability to stop and say, what is happening here? Why am I getting in my own way? Why am I shying away from this? And then they're able to say, oh, okay, engage in some reflection and think, I don't believe that I can really get it. I don't believe that I will be successful. I don't believe that I have the abilities that I will need to be successful. And so that self-awareness really is key because I think the very first step to addressing limiting beliefs is knowing that you even have them. And I think too many of us go around just living day to day, taking the actions without stopping to think about the thoughts and beliefs that are driving the actions that we're taking.
Do you also see a gender difference in in career limiting beliefs? Is it more common among men or women?
I want to say it's not more common in one gender, more so the type, what they believe about themselves might be seen more with one gender. So for example, women are more likely to believe that they will not get more money if they ask for it. They're more likely to believe that they will not be chosen for leadership roles. And so when we talk about where these come from, sometimes it's because they've seen either other women be unsuccessful in their organizations or they have been unsuccessful in the same or previous organizations. So now they believe it's no longer an option for them. And so those are the where I see women differ in that. It's more around things like leadership, opportunities, money, and just their ability to show up authentically as themselves at work and be accepted. That's where I see some beliefs I see women struggle with a bit more.
Well, let's talk about what you called earlier the work, how to overcome these limiting career beliefs. How do you recommend a listener get started, Tega?
So the first step is that identifying, like I said, right? Identifying the problematic career beliefs that you are experiencing, figuring out what is holding you back. A key way by which we form our beliefs is through direct experiences. So when we take action, something happens, we draw conclusions from it. And so those conclusions become our beliefs. And so to identify it, you have to ask yourself, what is the evidence supporting this belief? Is there evidence to support this belief? Or is there evidence to not support this belief? What I always say is when you identify this belief and you're looking for evidence, you're trying to be unbiased in the process. So we're looking for evidence both for and against. And then once we have that, we take a step back and review it. So based on this evidence, is my belief accurate or not? So that's the first step, is identify what the belief is. And then brainstorm the source of the belief. Where do you think it's coming from? Is it coming from experiences you personally have had in the past? Is it coming from messages you have received about yourself? Is it coming from stories you've heard or from things you've seen other people who look like you experience? So brainstorm some of the sources so that you can understand what is driving the belief. And then the third step would be to develop alternate ways of viewing the limiting beliefs, right? So how can you reframe the problem? And reframing involves seeing a problem from another viewpoint. So, you know, if you can see that you have the desired qualities that you need for something, it might help you shift that belief. And so just stepping out of what is your norm and asking yourself, what else could be happening here? How can I look at this from a different lens? How can I change the adjectives I'm using to describe myself? And then finally, you want to then take action to replace the limiting belief with what I call a liberating belief. And to do this, it's important to remember that beliefs really are just stories. Right? Beliefs are not facts. If they were facts, they wouldn't be a belief. And so if a story is no longer serving you, you can always change the story you're telling yourself about yourself. And that's where we replace the limiting belief with the liberating belief.
Yeah, I want to pause right here, Tega. And when we come back, I want to unpack each of those steps and talk about some of the common challenges that you see your clients deal with as they go through that process. So please stay with us. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tega Edwin about limiting career beliefs and how to overcome them. Every resume shares a career story. Are you telling your story as well as you could? Find out for yourself. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. The experts at Top Resume will look at your resume for free. And in just 2 business days, you'll get ideas you can use right away to tell your career story better. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Top resumes help more than 400,000 people, and they can help you too. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with career counselor and coach Dr. Tega Edwin. She helps women who are unhappy at work get clarity so they can find a fulfilling career. Tega joins us today from St. Louis, Missouri. Now, Tega, before the break, you took us through, I think it was 4 different steps mm-hmm. about how to overcome career-limiting beliefs. And the first one was just identifying them. Mm-hmm. Is that hard to do, and can you do it by yourself?
I think it's hard to do the first time you try, but it's something that can get easier over time. And you can certainly do it by yourself once you have experience doing it, but it doesn't hurt to work with a professional on the onset to at least figure out some of the common ones that you might be struggling with. And so I wouldn't say it's totally hard to do, but it might feel uncomfortable because it requires a lot of self-awareness and sitting with yourself. And that's one thing in my experience some of my clients have just struggled with because they don't do it often enough.
And for people who want to give it a try on their own, do you have some practical suggestions about exercises they might practice?
First thing I'll say is some specific questions to ask yourself. So, well, first, let me take a step back. You have to recognize that there might be a belief that is limiting you in some way, shape, or form. So you have to be aware of your actions. You have to be able to first start off by thinking, okay, am I intentionally or unintentionally doing things to stop my own success? And that could look very subtle. It can be something as simple as maybe when you're talking to a manager about an opportunity, you just say, you almost refer someone else. Let's just use some names. Let's say, Mac, you and I are colleagues, and I'm sitting with my manager, and he wants me to take on a new role. And I say something like, well, you know what? I think Mac has the better skill set for this. And so I'm not really saying disqualify me, but I am pushing this opportunity onto someone else. And so that is a subtle way of self-sabotage, where I could easily have said, you know what? Yes, I'm looking forward to this. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm bringing someone else in. And so you have to catch behaviors like that, procrastination, when you're doing things to get in your own way. And then questions to now ask yourself is, why am I doing this? What is causing me to not take the actions I need to take to be successful? When you ask yourself why, usually then you'll start to get at what you're believing. When you ask yourself why forces you to justify your action. And so if you say, let's stay with that example. If I ask myself, so why did I offer up Mac as an alternative? And then it might be, okay, because I don't think I would be good enough for the role. Then I would go even deeper. Okay, why don't I think I would be good enough for the role? Well, because I haven't had an experience doing this before. Okay, why do I think not having the experience is a bad thing? Well, because in the past, someone has told me that you need experience to be successful in anything you do in life. So if you see there, like I kept asking why, and it's like got at the belief. And that story that I'm telling myself really is, I believe I need to always have had experience of some kind to be successful. And so that would be the way that I would say to try to get at identifying what is the belief is keep asking why until you hear the story or the pattern that you're telling yourself.
And how do you know you've reached that pattern or that story as you go through those series of whys?
I think it would be when you get to a story that applies to more than one situation. So if we stick to my example, you know, the first step I talked about Mac, you know, I think he might be better. I then went to, I haven't had the experience. And that's where I think it comes in, because that lack of experience that is keeping me can apply to multiple other situations. I might, you know, avoid doing something in my personal life because I haven't experienced it before. I might avoid going wine tasting because I haven't experienced it before. So when you get at a belief that is not totally situation specific, when you get at a belief that when you listen to it, you can see how it has played out in either other parts of your career or just other areas of your life in general, you've hit a story that you're likely telling yourself over and over in different aspects of your life.
Okay, so let's move on. You've identified the limiting belief, you understand what it is and how it's harming you either at work or in your job search. What's the next step, Tega?
Now you're brainstorming the source. Where did these stories stem from? The most common ones that I know, there are three really common ones: childhood, society, and relationships. More often than not, your limiting beliefs have come from your childhood experiences, so messages that you were told growing up or experiences that you had as a kid that then shaped how you saw the world. Society, so what society says about you especially based on any part of your identity as a woman, as a Black woman, Asian woman, Native American woman, a person with a disability, a sexual minority orientation, whatever it may be. But what is society intentionally or unintentionally told you about you? And then your relationships. What have you experienced in relationships? And so those would be the three areas I would look at to see, are these where these stories are coming from? So asking yourself, where did I first hear this story? Whose voice is really playing in my head? You know, is this story my thought? Or, you know, sometimes it's you're hearing your mom's voice, really, or you're hearing your partner's voice, where the words you're hearing are words that somebody else have said to you in some way, shape, or form.
And how does knowing where those stories come from and the voices that are conveying them help you at the workplace with your career or in your job search?
Yeah, so it helps you because you can then pause and say, okay, I realize what's happening, and this is not what I believe about myself, or this is not what I want to believe about myself. All right, so if I stick with the example I started with, imagine, so I said, I believe I need experiences to be successful. Maybe it was at my very first job, I wanted to become a leader, and my supervisor said to me, oh, you don't have enough experience for that, you won't be good at it. And I now internalize that. So now I'm in this job 10, 20 years down the line, I'm working with Mac, my boss offers me a role, I say Mac is better, I do the activity, I realize, oh, I think I need experience. Where is it coming from? My first job, my very first job, I remember my boss said I needed experience, and I've now internalized that as the truth when it's not fact. It was just his opinion. And so if I know that this voice is an opinion and not a fact, I can now take action to intentionally counter that belief. I can say, okay, I hear this belief, but I don't believe that this is what is the truth. I want to replace the story. So I'm going to go ahead and take action and say yes to the opportunity or whatever it may be.
What's the third step, Tega?
Developing alternate ways of viewing the limiting beliefs. So as I mentioned, you know, first is I realized, you know, this is the belief I have. What is the evidence either against or for my belief? And then how can I reframe the story? What is an alternate version of the story sound like? What story might someone who loves me unconditionally tell me that is opposed to the one in my head? So sticking with my example, an alternate story might be, right, I don't have experiences, but I know I have the ability to learn because I've learned in the past. And if I learn what I need to, I can take on this role that my boss is offering me. And so that's a reframe as opposed to I can't do it because I don't have experiences.
Is it hard for people to do that reframe, the people you work with?
I think so, yes, because, you know, most times our beliefs are very deeply entrenched. We've been believing them for a while. And so I found that writing is a very good way to do all this work I'm talking about, like actually physically writing, not just type in, because writing has been shown to activate the brain on a different level. Because there's something about just seeing your thoughts in paper, on paper rather, at least in my experience with my clients, I've seen that when we write things down, they're able to say, oh, that wasn't really logical. Now I see the disconnect in what I was thinking. And it makes it easier for them to then take action as opposed to just sitting and rolling those thoughts around in their head.
What kind of writing exercises do you recommend, particularly for people who are doing a job search or dealing with a workplace issue?
I think when you identify the belief and you're trying to reframe it, I would say start by writing a list of 3 to 4 people that you know for a fact that you trust and you know for a fact they love you unconditionally. And then ask yourself, what would they say about this belief I have about myself? More often than not, when we step into the shoes of somebody else that has often been an advocate or a voice of support, we can say, oh, well, they would say you should try anyway, or they would say you can do this. And so writing out what that person will say can help you see another lens or reframe of the belief in your head.
Does it help, is in addition to writing, to talk to peers or mentors?
Most definitely. And I would say the same thing. So this writing activity could also be a conversation. The key thing is just making sure it's people that you genuinely trust, people that wouldn't try to sabotage you, people that will give you sound advice, people that you know are actually in your corner.
What's your fourth step, Tega?
Replacing the beliefs with a liberating version. So, you know, changing the limiting stories that are playing in your head requires that action. These are just, again, I said this earlier, they're just stories. And if a story is no longer serving you, you can tell yourself a new story. And so some of those reframes that you did can then shift into replacement. Affirmations are really great for replacing limiting beliefs. So just saying out loud the alternate thing that you would like to see happen is great. And then labeling your behaviors and not yourself. So for example, when something doesn't go wrong, being able to say, I made a mistake, but I'm not a failure, as opposed to saying, I'm a failure because something went wrong. So you want to start replacing the way you're talking to yourself and the stories you're telling yourself.
It's been a terrific conversation. Now, tell us, Tega, what's next for you?
Next for me is continuing to work with women and helping them find their fulfilling career. And I do this in my small group coaching program called Find Your Fulfilling Career. And I'm looking forward to continue to serve women in that space.
I know people can learn more about you, that program, and your other services by visiting your website. And that URL is hercareerdoctor.com. And we'll be sure to include that in the show notes as well. Now, Tega, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about why limiting career beliefs matter and how to beat them?
I want you to remember that your beliefs are important. Your beliefs drive your actions, and your actions drive the outcomes that you see in your career. Also, remember that beliefs are also just stories. If a story is no longer serving you, you have the right and you have the ability to start telling yourself a new story about yourself. So start looking for ways to adopt what I call those liberating career beliefs.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests, free job search articles, and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Erin Ewert. She's the founder of Careers for Social Impact. Erin helps mission-driven professionals get jobs they love. Many job seekers want to work for companies that make a positive difference in the world. Erin says to get a social impact job, you need to understand your motivation, know where you want to go, and explain why you want to do this work. Join us next week when Erin and I will talk about how to find and land a social impact job. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.